We have just experienced God's holy day season. It is a beautiful experience to glimpse the future from the scriptures. When God the Father sends Jesus Christ to this earth to become King of Kings and set up the kingdom of God and to bring the world, we'll have peace. We pray and look forward to that time in the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. We desire to be there in the government of God. But will we be there? If you would, turn with me over to 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. Peter is writing to the church, the church members, at this time, and he makes this statement, 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So Peter is telling us we in the church are being judged at this time. Now, if you would turn with me over to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1 through 4. Where we read what the disciples asked Christ. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." So now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Okay, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And then Christ says, "Take heed," answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." So we find Jesus then beginning here what we know as the Olivet Prophecy, and beginning here in chapter 24, but it continues on through his words as he talks to his disciples through chapter 25. Chapter 25 is also part of answering this question that the disciples had. So let's look now, if you would, turn with me over to 25, and we will begin reading in verse 31. Chapter 25 and verse 31. Like I said, we want to remember this is part of the answer that Christ gave his disciples. What will be a sign of time of the end? So then he says here, verse 31 of chapter 25, we read, "Then the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, blessed are my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" So we see here, Christ is coming, and he's going to judge between what he considers the sheep and what he considers the goats. So my title for today, how do we know if we are sheep or if we are a goat? Can we judge ourselves? Remember, Peter says, judgment is taking place on us now. So this is our judgment time that we are in. When Christ returns, Will he consider us a sheep or a goat? It is very interesting how many times in Scripture Jesus uses analogies to his creation, to sheep and goats throughout the Bible. So he wants to create a word picture for us so that we understand what he is doing to mankind. Now, there is a difference between a flock of sheep and a herd of goats. They have different characteristics. And we will look at that difference today, because I believe we do desire to be on Christ's right hand when he comes to judge us. So let us continue reading here now in verse 35. For this is his description of the sheep. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So this is what an individual with an attitude of sheep do. They're looking out for others. Because Christ says, as you look out for your brother or sister, you're looking out for me. And he keeps track of that. And God the Father keeps track of how we serve one another, showing love to one another. So now let's look at some scriptures regarding sheep. And we'll come back later and we'll look at the goats. But first we want to look at sheep. If you would now turn with me over to John chapter 13 and verse 33 through 35. John chapter 13 and verse 33 through 35. Where we read, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and you also love one another. So this is his commandment. He refers to us as little children, and we are to love one another. Turn with me now also to John chapter 10 and verse 1 through 5. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. And we will read here describing the shepherd and his sheepfold that he has at this time. John 10, beginning in verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So as I was reading this and working on the sermon yesterday, I thought of a time in recent history, church history, in 1995, when someone tried to enter in and lead the sheep astray. But the sheep, in 95, we knew the voice of the shepherd, did we not? we followed the shepherd voice. We know the shepherd's voice. How do we know the shepherd's voice? Because we listen to what he says in scriptures. We read. So when a hireling came in 95 and tried to draw us away, many of us said no. Many of us, a few of us even remember when they came out on that first holy day in 95 up in Howell. Some of us got up and left the service because of the hireling that was speaking. We did not recognize his voice. We knew Christ's voice, what Christ was. So we have to be aware of what is transpiring. Continuing on here now in verse 11, where we read, where Christ says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So we understand what Christ has done. Continuing down to verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my sheep. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So there is only one shepherd over the church of God, and that is Jesus Christ. And we can know where different folds or flocks of shepherd are. You know, have you ever visited another church area and you've been there in the church area and you feel very comfortable in that congregation, even though it's a new congregation you maybe have never visited, but you feel comfortable? Why? Because they also are listening to the voice of the chief shepherd and the messages that they have. So we all follow the voice of Jesus Christ. We follow in his word what he says. Psalm 23. No. Psalm 23. Another example of sheep. Very familiar chapter to many of us. Psalm 23, verse 1 through 3, where we read, Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, if we look to Jesus Christ as our shepherd, he will lead us. He'll guide us. He will be there for us. He restores our soul. Kind of remembers me back in the springtime regarding the flock of sheep that we had on the farm where I grew up on. We had our own pastures right around the barn, but in the summertime, we'd take them down the road a piece and then through another farmer's yard, down his lane to the woods that we had. And the sheep would follow either my father or myself. They trusted us. They weren't afraid. They'd just follow us along because we called them. They knew that we were going to take care of them. And we'd go down through the neighbor's fields and everything. They'd just follow along, either my father or I. And the other one of us would be in the back because we'd have a few stragglers from time to time. But the older ewes, the females, they'd been down this trip before. And they would follow us. They'd just line up and follow us down as we'd take them through down the lane and through the fields, to the woods, to the pasture. They knew our voices. Because after they were down on these pastures in the woods, they're eating, I think that's about 40 acres, we could go down at least once a week and check on our flock of sheep down there. And we just have to call out when we got down there to the woods. We might have some, usually it was salt that we had, took down to them. Just call out, Kadek, Kadek, and here they would come running from out in the woods because they knew the shepherd's voice. They recognized it. Well, that is what we are, as David is saying here. We should recognize Jesus Christ as our shepherd. He'll guide us. He will not lead us astray. And he leads us in the paths of righteousness so that it may be good and beneficial for us. Notice Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Where Christ says in Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Christ is saying, we have a choice to make. Are we going to follow him? Are we going to follow Jesus Christ, our shepherd, daily? Yes, we do have take up cross there to follow him. Yes, we have daily trials. All of us do. But are we going to follow Christ as he leads us through? As Christ says, follow me through whatever trials or life experiences you have. I'd like us also now to turn over to Paul, who wrote in King James Version, I'll read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Where we read here, this is from the King James Version. Paul writes, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So what Paul is saying, you see me follow Christ, you also follow Christ. He isn't saying you follow me. He's saying you follow Christ just as I follow Christ. Those sheep that followed my father and I, they were following the shepherd. And that is what we are to do. We have to look to Christ to follow him in our lives. So are we willing to follow the good shepherd? The choice is ours. Or do we want to push the fences like goats do? It's rather interesting. You can keep sheep penned up. We used to have what was rail fences. Now I know that ages me going back. As we used around the woods, there was rail fences. In other words, it was a log of a tree that had been cut down. I can't remember whether 10 or 12 feet, you split the log down until you have, you know, something about this big around. And you put them on the ground in Vs and you cross them. And it was only that high for the sheep. The sheep stayed in the fence. Now you can't put a herd of goats in a fence like that because they're going to push and they're going to jump over and be gone. But the sheep did. So let's look now at what Christ said about the goats. And then we'll look at some characteristics that is referenced in Scripture as well regarding goats. So let's go turn back now to Matthew chapter 25. And we'll begin reading in verse 41 through 45. So Matthew 25, verse 41 through 45. Then he'll also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So Christ is bringing out attitude of individuals that he refers to as goats. Remember, we started out, this is a judgment that's going to take place at the when Christ returns, judging the church of God. This is the church of God, this judgment is that we have read about, that Peter made reference to, and what we've read, what Christ says. So it's those of us who have been called by the Father and in the church, baptized, he is going to judge us. That's our final judgment, as Christ says here. For this is our time of judgment. We don't have another second chance or something. When Christ comes to judge us, he's going to either say sheep or goat. There's no further judgment on us at that time. So continuing on here now regarding this contrast that we've seen, we see then contrast is brotherly love. The sheep, as we have read here, had works of actions to show kindness one to another. The goats are not showing acts of kindness to others. They have a different attitude. The ones who classified as goats are individuals. Individualistic, they're thinking of themselves. So now let's turn to a few scriptures regarding such individuals. The first one is Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 through 18. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 through 18. Paul writes, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple." So these are individuals that are in church, and they come along, and they cause divisions. So that's one note we see of goats. They cause division in the church, and that characteristics. Jude chapter 14, well, Jude 14 through 19. Jude chapter 14 Jude 14 through verse 19. "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all those who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken about them." These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. So here, once again, they're causing division. Characteristic is they're complainers. You know, they're always, you know, have a new idea how things ought to be done in the church instead of just following the guidelines. No, they have their own words. But what is, continuing on, what is Jude, right? "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles and of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts." These are sensuous persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Once again, he's making reference to those in the church who come along, and at the end time, they want to cause division in the church. We have to be aware of them, seeking their own things. Now reading, if you would, turn with me now over to Titus, chapter 3, and verse 9 through 11. Titus, chapter 3, and verse 9 through 11. Now I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Here are these verses. So Titus 3, verse 9 through 11. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about the obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. If people are causing divisions among you, give a first and a second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them. This is what Paul wrote to Titus, to beware of individuals that may show up in congregation. So we see then the difference between the sheep and the goats. You know, the sheep love unity. They seek unity. They're there to serve one another. But as we read here, the goats lack of love. They like to come along, cause division, aren't there helping. So now, I'd like us to look at some more things regarding those of us who are sheep. We're looking forward to sit there at the right hand of Jesus Christ. Turn with me now to James chapter 4 and verse 10 through 11. James 4, verse 10 through 11, where we will read. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but you are a judge. So we are not supposed to be speaking evil, trying to cause division in a congregation. Well, I don't think so-and-so is doing the right thing. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 through 17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 through 17. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, brethren, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Yes, we know that we are not all perfect. We have to forgive one another. Why? Because Christ forgave us individually. So if we've exceeded that grace of Christ to us, then we are to pass it on to our brothers and sisters as well. Verse 14 now. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. So here, as it says, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, in all wisdom. Know God's word. What does Christ say? What does the chief shepherd say about this or that? We are to know it. Now, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Be thankful that God reveals his word to us, that we can understand it in our lives as we go about the situations that come up. We are to be very grateful. Now, there is a time coming when the Father will send Jesus Christ to this earth. And Christ will come with those whom he has judged as righteous, and they will have inherited eternal life. Let's look at John now 3 and verse 9 through 11. John chapter 3 and verse 9 through 11. First John, I want First John. Seems like my staple here hid up First John. It's First John I want. First John 3, verse 9 through 11. Because here, recall when John is writing, he refers to all of us as children. And this is what he says here in beginning of verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Yes, we are to have that love for one another. So let's turn back here to Matthew chapter 25 once again. The conclusion of what Christ was saying to the disciples on the Mount of Olives. Looking at verse 46 now. This is after he just told the goats why they received what they did. In verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, that's the goats, but the righteous into eternal life. So we are being judged now, as we read today, for our actions. This is our only time that we have. We not have a second chance. We all get just one chance at this time. And God is no respecter of persons. And as we read here in this chapter, Christ is going to make that judgment when he returns with his angel to gather those first fruits. There's no arguing with Christ. But, no. This is what you did. I'm judging you now on this. Come. Those who are blessed and righteous, sit at my right hand. So, for each one of us, let us be judging ourselves, be critical of ourselves. Are we a sheep or are we a goat? Let's pray that we all here are sheep and we will see one another at the right hand of Christ.